Hi, and welcome to Nat DeCant's podcast. I'm your wine-soaked host, Natalie McLean. Here's a short story on choosing your own house wine. It's a brilliant concept that shouldn't be limited to restaurants. I hope you find these tips helpful for your entertaining, and I've also included lots of specific suggestions for great labels that can work as your house wine or as gifts to others on the website. An easy way to get your holiday shopping wrapped up this year is to give your friends, family, and clients a lighthearted fireside book about wine that you have so thoughtfully had signed by the author and perhaps paired with a good bottle. I'm here to help. Just email me and I'll send you signed book plates that you can affix inside my book, Red, White, and Drunk All Over. It just won the Culinary Literary Book Award in the International Culinary Arts Competition, hosted by the Cordon d'Or. I think that's a good reason to crack open a bottle tonight, or maybe three. Not that I need a reason, but self-deluding rationalizations are always helpful. You can buy the book in all major bookstores, as well as selected drugstores, grocery stores, wineries, wine accessory shops. And I've noted the online retailers who ship within 24 hours around the world. Retailers like Barnes & Noble's, Chapters, Amazon, etc. This month's delicious recipe for soy sauce chicken rings comes from Heather Chase, a wonderful personal chef and food writer in Bangkok, Thailand, who has a wonderful food blog called The Culinary Chase. I'd pair this dish with the 2004 Weigeller Riesling Spätlese from Germany from our December 8th wine picks at nataliemclean.com. You can check out more of Heather's recipes, including portobello mushroom melts, asparagus with anchovy butter, parsnip chips with truffle oil and parmesan and others by searching on her name in the recipes section of the website. You can also search for more recipes from other chefs at that part of the site. The first word of the week is viniculture. Viniculture, also known as enology or enology with an O, is the study or practice of making wine and of the grapes used to produce to make wine. The second word is viticulture, the science of grape growing, which includes the cultivation of grapes and their vines. The bonus word is expectorate. Before giving any fancy definitions, let's just call this what it is: spitting. It may seem socially abhorrent, but when you're tasting many wines, you need to do this unless you are sleeping overnight at the tasting room. Simply form your mouth into a circle and lean over the spittoon, spit bucket, and let go. Practice in the shower will reduce the incidence of unsightly dribbles and carpet stains. And now, this month's story, a wine to call your own. Your taste in wine is a lot like your taste in art. They both reveal your personal style. When guests visit your home, both wine and art are part of their experience of the occasion, and of course, often can be a starting point for a good story about how you chose them. That's why I think the concept of house wine shouldn't be limited to restaurants. Every home should have one. It's not just a liquid gesture of hospitality and welcome. It's also about convenience. A house wine is always on hand. You take out a bottle of it on weeknights for dinner, serve it to friends who drop in unexpectedly, and use it as a comfortable fallback when you're disappointed with a new wine or even take it as a hostess gift with you. But I have to confess that until I was in my late 20s, I didn't think much about wine or art. My taste in the latter ran to innocuous floral prints and one token red cat on black velvet. Then I decided to take a sommelier course, which resulted in changing the way I approached both. Local artist Carol Morois sat beside me in class. I visited her studio and discovered that one of her themes was wine. Her work is vibrant and full of life, expressing the joy of wine, and she agreed to do an oil painting for me. Choosing a house wine is a lot like that kind of discovery. By the time you've experimented with various wines, you're more confident of the styles you like and ready to find one to call your own. You develop a loyalty toward that wine and recommend it to your friends, much the way you'd identify with a home sports team or favorite musical group. You also get the satisfying accumulation of knowledge about the winery. its history and founding, how it's got its name, the story behind an unusual label, and the vintner's approach to making the wine. Having a few cases of a particular wine in the house also allows you to get to know it more intimately. You can see how it pairs with different dishes and how it ages. If you buy several vintages, you can assess how it changes from year to year. Since you'll be restocking frequently, your chosen wine should be one that's ready to drink when young. House wines aren't generally bought to age for the long term. However, it should be robust enough to keep well once opened and recorked, at least till the next day. Your choice of tipple doesn't have to be expensive. In fact, if you feel it's too good to drink with pizza, it's not a house wine. You may spend a few dollars more on a bottle than you usually do on a casual wine, but a good house wine should maximize the pleasure-to-price ratio and taste more expensive than it really is. You're proud to serve it, and it doesn't blow your budget. This is particularly useful when it saves you from bringing out the Chateau Petrus for less than deserting guests. The wine should also be delicious, but not so unusual or bland that some of your guests will hate it while others love it. It shouldn't be too heavily oaked because aromas of wood, smoke, and vanilla and spice aren't to everyone's taste. It shouldn't be too high in alcohol either, so that you can quaff it throughout the evening or drink it with many different dishes. The best way to find a great house wine is to buy a case of 12 different bottles that are all within your price range. If you already know a few labels you like, ask a knowledgeable staff person at the liquor store to suggest others of similar style from the same region or from different places. If you don't have a clear favorite yet, describe the style of wine you like, or just ask the staffer what he or she is excited about. For whites, look for refreshing wines with the same mouth-watering acidity that marry well with foods such as Riesling or Sauvignon Blanc. For reds, a smooth red with juicy ripe fruit works, such as Pinot Noir, Merlot, or Zinfandel. Of course, having a house wine doesn't mean that you stop trying other wines. In fact, it may have the opposite effect, much like discovering a new author prompts you to read the works of his contemporaries. I think of Carole Mortois, whose lovely portrait of snow-capped ice wine grapes first seduced me and led me to seek out other artists and themes. Similarly, a house wine you like will encourage you to try others for the sake of comparison, and that's how you may well discover your next favorite. In the world of wine, both the faithful and the fickle are rewarded. That's it for this podcast. If you enjoyed it, please let others know about them. There's more information about the book, Red, White, and Drunk All Over, and my free e-newsletter at nataliemaclean.com. You'll also find more than 100 new wines I've recommended on the website this month. Tune in again next time for another exciting episode. And in the meantime, drink up. Cheers, Natalie. This podcast and its content are copyright of Natalie Maclean, 2007.